And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. Michael Patrick Leahy here today. We're about to be joined by our guest, good friend, author of Kennedy Babylon, Volume 2, which you can buy at HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, the radio talk show king from Boston. Welcome, Howie.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
It's always great to have you on. Howie, so first, congratulations. 25 years on the air in Boston. Fantastic.
I know. Dodged a lot of bullets over the years.
Literally.
Still dodging. Yeah.
Literally dodged a bullet. As those of who listened to us last time Howie was on, the Boston Mafia hood, Whitey Bulger, had put a contract out on Howie years ago. And now, let's say Whitey Bulger was murdered in prison after he'd been
on
the
land. He sleeps with the fishes.
He sleeps with the fishes. So Howie and I first became really good friends when we started identifying the problems associated with Senator Elizabeth Warren, also known as Pocahontas and other various names, when she was running for the United States Senate in 2012 and was claiming to be Cherokee Native American. Well, Howie and I discovered something that was quite interesting about her. She's not Native American at all. And Howie, tell us a little bit about the story of what you uncovered there with the Powwow Chow Cookbook.
Well, yeah, she was going nowhere, basically, in her career as an academic at various law schools until she decided in the mid-'80s to start checking the box. She started claiming to be a Native American, and all of a sudden her career took off like a rocket ship. And suddenly she's not an instructor at the University of Texas Law School. She's a tenured professor, first at the University of Pennsylvania and then at Harvard University, which of course are two Ivy League law schools. And these schools hire almost exclusively people who went to Ivy League law schools. And she didn't. And, there's only one reason they hired her, because she was a Native American. And she tried to burnish her fraudulent credentials by contributing to these, by checking the box. And then the funniest thing she did was she contributed to this Indian recipe book in her native state of Oklahoma. It was called Powwow Chow. And that was pretty preposterous that she claimed that these recipes, we looked at these recipes, it said cold crab omelet is a native Cherokee recipe. And so then I guess I punched in, or one of my people punched in to Google just the first few words of the recipe, and it came back as a New York Times recipe.
She plagiarized the recipe.
Right, by the gourmet cook, Pierre Franet. I don't know how you pronounce his name, but he was like one of the most famous French chefs in America. And this dish, cold crab omelet, this was the favorite dish at his Midtown restaurant in New York of Noel Coward and the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, those well-known Sachems of the Cherokee people.
Well-known Cherokee. So in 1985, she's an instructor at the University of Texas Law School. She with no evidence other than the fact that her mom said she had high cheekbones, but no documentary evidence whatsoever. No genetic evidence.
Well, as you turned up, the documentary evidence was all the other way.
Exactly.
You know, the fact that one of her grandfathers shot an Indian off a moving horse after he beat up her great uncle or something like that.
Exactly.
And another one of her even further back ancestors was actually in the Tennessee militia, which was charged with driving the Cherokee on the Trail of Tears to Oklahoma.
Exactly.
I mean, it was just preposterous. It'd be like some guy who was whose ancestors was a guard in a Nazi concentration camp, now claiming to be a Jew. You know, I mean, it was ridiculous.
So she claims to be Native American. No documentary evidence. No genetic evidence. Claims in 1985. Checks the box. She's an instructor at the University of Texas Law School. Magically, in 1987, she's appointed the University of Pennsylvania Law School. She really goes into the files there. And not only is she in the directory, she checks a box for the legal form in the University of Pennsylvania, says, yes, I am Native American. Harvard Law School looks at this. They need, quote, diversity. They hire her.
Right, and you know, the thing is, she issued this this report a couple of months ago, claiming that she had this DNA evidence that backed her up. Well, you know, number one, as the Cherokee Nation was only too eager to point out, this was a preposterous test. That's not how you judge people, whether they are Native American or not. But also, the easiest way to find out if she committed this ethnic fraud would be for her to release her employment applications to both the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard Law School. And she refuses to do that.
Now, I wonder why.
Draw your own conclusion. Yeah.
So, and this bogus DNA claim. So she says she took a DNA test. By the way, we don't know that it really was her DNA.
Right.
But so a printout was made, given to a professor at Stanford, who looks at it and says, based upon this data, we think that there's a chance that maybe she had one ancestor who was comparable to our pool of DNA that we pretend is Native American, but is really people from Peru, Mexico, and Colombia, not people from the United States.
Think Peru. If you think of Peru, think George Zimmerman, the guy who killed Trayvon Martin down in Florida. His mother was a Peruvian.
Yeah.
Anyone ever say he was an Indian? And he was half Peruvian.
Yeah, exactly right. A great example. So that Stanford professor goes in and says, based upon my analysis of this DNA printout, you may have an ancestor that fits in that category 6 to 10 generations back, 1/64th, which is 1.6%, or 1/1024th, which is less than 1/10 of 1% Native American. Well,
and that's less than half of what the average quote unquote white American has in terms of Native American blood.
So Howie,
she's coasting on the affirmative action gravy train on this, and this is her own results. We don't even know if these are true or not.
Yeah, exactly. So what she does then is she has a big press release, a big YouTube, very slickly produced, and said and claims, "Oh, this proves President Trump, who's called me Pocahontas, is wrong." It backfires, doesn't it?
Totally backfired. The first they got the percentages wrong, and they had to issue two groveling corrections throughout the course of the day when they announced this. And then, that evening, the Cherokee Nation announced that this was the most insulting thing they'd ever seen, and it just totally backfired on her. And so yesterday, the New York Times did a story just saying they treated it as some kind of tactical error, you know, like she didn't
exactly
spend enough time in Florida, you know, when she should have been in New Hampshire or something like that. But this is the foundation of her entire career. Her career is the fruit of the poison tree of lying about her ethnic background. And the New York Times still doesn't comprehend that. It's really fascinating. But last night, Michael, I don't know if you saw it, the Globe came out, the Boston Globe, you know, which has been promoting her all along, and where she dumped this ridiculous story that proved that, quote-unquote, proved she was an Indian. They basically wrote an editorial telling her not to run for president, that she was too damaged.
And you're exactly right. The New York Times missed the main point. They thought this was a tactical problem because of her relationship with Native Americans. No, it was a tactical problem because she lied.
Right.
And benefited from it 30 years ago.
Yeah, this isn't the, you know, I mean, everybody's got skeletons in their closet. You know, I mean, Bernie Sanders, Cory Booker wrote those stupid things for the newspapers. You know, Kamala Harris had this perv working for her. But I mean, these are all mistakes you can overcome. I mean, if your entire career is based on this monstrous lie that adversely affected other people, you know, somebody that lost those tenured positions at the Ivy League law schools because this woman was engaging in this this incredibly cynical, fraudulent ploy of claiming to be an Indian, and then backing it up with plagiarized French recipes, among many other things. I mean, there's so much ridiculous nonsense that you've gone into, like about her wedding, claiming that
it's all
discrimination
crazy
against her parents. It was just nonsense. You know, as she would put it, front to back, and it's all backfired on her. She ran a terrible campaign for re-election. She only got 60% of the vote, despite you know, having all the advantages in Massachusetts. Her debate performances were disastrous. You know, she called last summer for the abolition of ICE, and then she goes into the debate and says, "I never said that." She has this amazing habit, Michael, as you know, of saying things on videotape and then denying that she said them. I mean, you know, if you say something behind closed doors or something like that, or in a pool where there's nobody's recording, I mean, maybe you can get away with it. But she's so entitled over the years that she just thinks she can get away with anything, and she can't, obviously, as her presidential campaign falling apart before it begins is proving.
You know, Howie, you and I, 6 years ago, a little over 6.5 years ago, offered her this political advice, and I, frankly, if she'd have followed it, she probably wouldn't be in this pickle today. We said, and I was on your show and said this, I think I wrote a Breitbart story about it, she should simply say, fess up, apologize, say, yeah, I did it. I took advantage. I falsely claimed Native American heritage. I apologize. If she'd done that back then, this would be, you know, but she can't do it, can she, Howie?
No, because, again, it's the foundation of her career. I mean, because nobody believes that somebody, I don't know, she went to the University of Houston undergrad, Rutgers Law School. I got nothing against those schools, but people that come out of those schools do not become tenured professors at two Ivy League law schools. The only reason she got those gigs was because she started checking the box. And you know, imagine if Donald Trump had pulled a stunt like that.
No chance there.
He'd be literally driven from office if they could ever prove he'd done something.
Howie Carr, thank you so much for joining us. Buy his book, Kennedy Babylon, Volume 2, HowieCarrShow.com. Howie, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.